Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Nordman, KBN on 94.5 ESPN, the Wisconsin On Demand app, and streaming live at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. We the boys.
We the boys. It's the 414 hour at 4 on KBN.
He is Kyle Wallace. I'm Ben Brust alongside Brad Nordman. Alex Stroh, friend of the show. It's a Tory Lowe Tuesday here on Kyle Bruston Nordman.
What's happening in?
Hey, what's going on, Tory, man? What'd you think of Goody and Matt LaFleur and them saying the defensive line is going to be good enough and somebody's going to emerge as the wide receiver one?
What? Tory, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's just stringing along the Pittsburgh Steelers. How do you feel about the fact that he's just slow playing them and leaving them out to dry?
That's diabolical.
Yeah, Tory, I feel you on that being diabolical. But what about the fact that Goody says the D-line is good?
Oh, wow.
That's Tory, all we got today on Tory Lowe Tuesday.
I was going to ask what he thought about Stroh commenting on Kyle Wallace's baby girl's eyes.
Hey!
Oh, my God!
But, Tory, you know her, too. What the hell, man?
No, he A'd that, what? Kyle. You know what A stands for.
I know what A stands for. What? Tory's the nastiest stroke.
It's diabolic.
It sure is.
The Milwaukee Brewers are 0-4. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nordman, Alex Stroh. UKB Nation 800-990-3776. Tory is not actually here. I think people can follow that, I hope. On YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Let's get into some math quickly, Brad.
I love math.
Oh, Lord.
How many games are in a baseball season?
162.
How many games are in an NFL season?
17.
If you took 162 and divided it by 17s, and we'll put this into a football breakdown, how many games per NFL season or per NFL game is an MLB sequence?
I think you're asking, like, what's the equivalent to what the Brewers have just played
yes.
in an NFL game?
Yes, very good. Very good. That's what I was asking.
If
exactly.
I'm going to guess, I'm going to guess it's probably the equivalent to, like, one quarter of the first game.
9.5 like games is one of 17. The Brewers have played 4 games.
So not even halftime.
It's not even halftime.
Of the first game.
And everyone is saying the Packers are done, the Brewers are done, which way you want to look at it. We aren't even to halftime, and the season's over to people right now.
You're not good. Don't ever be a math teacher.
It's good perspective.
Your students would be so confused.
Well, I had my TA, Brad Norman.
The math is correct. The explanation.
It was terrible. Take me back to math class, Dr. Rao. I'm like, bro, I don't know what you're saying right now. I don't know what's happening right now.
So basically, this is the equivalent of the Green Bay Packers, and it's 4 minutes to go.
We're at the 2-minute warning right now.
Yeah, in week one.
In week one before halftime.
And they've only had like...
Hold on. Did Kyle just call out his math teacher by name?
I don't know if he's still alive, but let me tell you. Freshman year, Whitewater, math 141.
Was he old or something?
Oh my gosh, Dr. Rao talks slow, and I couldn't fully understand him. And then he used to talk about pomegranate juice. I said, bro, what? And he used to take a sip and do it. And
I'm like,
you know how odd it is as a freshman to go to college and things are different and change, and your professor literally is in the middle of teaching, and he goes like this. And I'm like, what? And then he goes, pomegranate juice. I said, what does this have to do with math? I don't know what you're talking about. He did pass me with a D, though. Shout out to Dr.
D's get degrees, Kyle.
Oh, listen, with a D. I didn't earn a D. I didn't know what he was talking about.
So he gave you a merciful D?
Sure did. Worst grade I had in college. That was it. One D.
Write him, hey, why do you like pomegranate juice so much? And he was like, oh, I'm going to pass this guy.
I didn't know why. Never had it before. I was
Does
so
that
confused.
Make you feel a little bit better in comparison to where the Brewers are in terms of the length of the season?
It does, because I recall that year where the Green Bay Packers played, I believe, in Jacksonville against the Saints.
Very
and
good.
They played horrible.
Horrible.
And that's the full game, not just halftime. And they went on and were the number one seed and were just fine. So it does make me feel better. Because the baseball season starts out with a lot of fanfare, a lot of excitement. But then you see the product through four games, and you're just like, oh, no. Are we in trouble?
And part of that is,
that does help,
I think, in the Yankees series, you're figuring out, holy cow, if you've missed it, what are these torpedo bats? These bats that are not shaped like regular bats, that have a bigger barrel, but apparently it's the same. It was approved by the MLB. So Yankees, not everyone used them, but the Yankees put on a home run show. Nestor Cortez in the second game of the season, back-to-back-to-back jacks on three pitches. It's never good to be on that side of MLB history where it's the first time it ever happened. And then just obviously disappointing in the home opener, losing 11-1 and not getting anything going. And again, from a vibes perspective, this doesn't necessarily ever equate to success on anything when you like do something in memoriam of somebody. Like, I was juiced up. I figured, like, first game honoring you, like, there's going to be a little bit more juice behind this team today to find a way to get it done. And there just wasn't anything there yesterday. Now, I have concerns about the pitching. Absolutely. But I'm going to give a little grace because we're still so young into the season, and I can't be a fraud and say that I believe in what Pat Murphy was able to do with these young guys last year. Unfortunately, they just haven't got on base, so they can't execute the way they want to play offensively. Yesterday, they weren't able to get on base. They're not able to use their speed. They're not able to use this. Jackson Churio has been horrible.
At what point
but he was great in spring training. I know this is different. This is the real thing.
No, yeah, uh-huh.
Now, what you point? You can hit the panic button after game one.
I'm not hitting the panic button. I'm just going to say, at what
when
point?
When I say game one, I mean that in the NFL season, which is 9.5 games.
At what point are we just going to really face the fact and reality of what really happened here?
All right, what happened, Kyle?
Ben Bruss gallivanted around this dang office asking people once again to put their money into a bet with the Brewers. And I said, listen, I don't want Ben to put his hands on the Brewers because everything he touches when he tries to get everybody together, it fails. Remember that putting it all on black and he went to Vegas and what happened? He stole all our $100 and we lost.
Now
you stole his $50 and Brad. You stole my $10. You stole Struff $100. You stole people's money around here and then you stole the hearts of all Milwaukee because the Brewers are not going to be good because of you.
Wow.
You put your poison on my Brewers.
All right, sounds good. When they hit 84 games and hit the win total over, you won't be getting your money.
I hope they do, but based off the fact that you're involved with it, I'm concerned.
So you now...
Highly concerned, yes.
You now are putting aside the fact that they've made the playoffs 6 of the last 7 years, and at one point in the last 6 of the last 7 years, they've lost 4 games in a season.
Ben, I jumped into Lake Michigan because you thought a football team, my Green Bay Packers, weren't going to make the playoffs.
You like, also believe that, which is why...
I was not there that day, so you don't know what I believe, but all I did was jump in because you told me I had to. And so all I'm saying is...
Well, who's the fool? The fool or the fool who follows?
We're all fools for following you. That's what we are, and we follow.
That's from Obi-Wan Kenobi. I've been watching Star Wars.
So good.
And our Milwaukee Brewers.
The fool or the fool that follows?
Obi-Wan is so wise.
Obi-Wan. When you didn't believe in the Brewers last year, you weren't trying to do this great bet on the Brewers. The Brewers were great. And now you bet on the Brewers and Ben put his disgusting, nasty touch on it.
But
and now
Kyle,
we all stink.
I get it. But Ben gave me a wonderful NCAA parlay that included the over in the Alabama BYU game.
No.
That hit like crazy.
Yeah.
So maybe
maybe it's
some sort of fusion of you and Ben together that just causes disaster.
We are like fire and ice.
The kiss of death only comes.
Oil and water.
No, the kiss of death from Ben only comes when he gets everybody all excited about it. When he marches around the office begging people for money.
So I'm just the ultimate tease?
Yes. Anytime you beg money, anytime you get too many people involved. Yeah, you beg. You begged us from. You put Brad. Brad wasn't even here. He was out in Vail or whatever, somewhere rich people go for Colorado. And he came back and he was
Utah.
Picking out lighter.
Utah, Park City.
Park City. I didn't know.
Another one of those rich
people places. That's where he was. And then he came back $50 lighter in his pockets.
Yeah,
because
my money was spent and it was revealed to me on these airwaves live when I was just giving you $50.
I have said if you didn't want to take the bet that I would cover your $50 and I would just have $150 in. But I made the compelling argument about this team, and I'm not going to sit here and panic 4 games in.
Yeah, I'm not panicking.
We should not panic. The Brewers are going to lose 4 games regardless this year. Now, it's an ugly start. It is a very,
and there are concerns about starting pitching right now because
yeah, pitching has been hurt.
Quintana's in the 15-day right now in the minors where he needs to, you know, get there. And again, he's not a savior.
But still, this isn't
Tobias
a rotation.
Myers isn't there Out. Yet. Woodruff's not there yet. Uh-huh. Robert Gasser and DL Hall hurt.
This is not what you expected to have.
But Devin Williams didn't even play half the season last year, and they were just fine. Corbin Burns was traded, and they were just fine. So let's not hit the panic button when we've seen what the team has been able to do when things aren't necessarily going their way. In the current moment, it just happens to be the first four games of the longest season of all of sports.
Yeah. Are you concerned about the injury bug so early in the season, though? Because, I mean, they just got out of spring training, and you've already got this mounting injury issue. Or is it just one of those things that you just got to work it out?
I mean, to start the season early on is not great. It's not great. But, you know, Freddie Peralta will get it going. I think Nestor Cortez is going
to
be okay.
Got to see him again before we just throw him to the Wolves. No, like, it was horrible. Just, he had one of the best ERAs at Yankee Stadium. It was a sub-3 home games in his Yankees career. Sub-3 ERA. He gave up a ton of bombs. It happens.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the Torpedo Bats. Who knows? But need to see him for more games than one before I throw Nestor Cortez in the he sucks category.
Yeah, I mean,
the Brewers take pitchers. Even last year they did it. They traded for Frankie Montas. Never in a world that I was living in where I think Frankie Montas and the Reds would be able to start for the Milwaukee Brewers in a playoff game and help keep them in a game to be competitive. Like, it's just, there's too much season. I've seen too much magic. I believe in Pat Murphy too much to just throw in the towel and be like, is it frustrating? Yeah, I'm frustrated. Of course I am. Like, I literally on Saturday had so much FOMO about not being able to consume the Brewers with my TV package that I subscribed. And whenever I'm in the car, obviously I listen every second. But if I'm at home, I want to be able to consume the Brewers. That's how much I want to see this team do well. But it doesn't mean through four games that I'm going to sit here and start saying, throw the team away and it's done.
So how many games or at what point are you like, okay, now I'm concerned? Is that like Memorial Day? That's through 2 months of the season?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like that? You just want to be within five games. Even if they were within five games in last place in Memorial Day, I'm not panicking because you still got all of summer. We just need to see, again, I need at least through the NFL season category where we did one game is worth 9.5 baseball games. Give me 4 or 5 games, man. Like, because then you're getting to a point where teams are getting buys and you start figuring out what you're made of. Give me 9.5 times 4. We're looking at what?
45.
40-ish games.
45 games.
Listen, by the end of April, it'll be a different conversation. Just by the end of, I mean, the Brewers may not, you know, they're not going to have a hot start this year. We know that. But the Brewers, if they're 500 by the end of April, and they're starting to play better baseball, the pitching is starting to get settled in, you get your guys back in that starting rotation, if Tobias Myers is going to be the same guy he was last year, you're looking good. You're going to get what you're going to get from Jose Quintana. Like, this team is going to be okay. And everybody in KBN Nation, the Brewers are going to lose 4 games. They're going to have a 4-game losing streak. Now, again, it is ugly, but guess what?
It's just ugly because you're paying more attention to it.
But just plus, like that, the Brewers could win 4 games in a row, and bada boom, bada bang, it changes everything.
Ugly, plus it's a rare streak where both the bats and the arms are both not doing their thing. So the you look at the score differential, and you're like, dang.
I think it was minus 34.
Minus 32, worse than the MLB.
Oh, it's early, it's bad, but it's early, and the Brewers will recover.
The one thing
and if they don't,
that I would be a fraud if I didn't say this. If you want to be frustrated about the lack of urgency and free agency, I can get behind that. I know they're in the bottom third of payroll, but when you lose Willie Adames and they're trying to do the Packer thing of building young, I want the Packers to be aggressive, and Goody in his mind did, and maybe in others' minds he didn't. For the Brewers, they didn't do anything that significant in the offseason to bolster what they were losing. And Jackson Churio was supposed to take on a big bulk of that, but it's a lot to put on a very young player who's going to have a great career regardless of how he started to sort of be the guy that when Willie Adames had a 30-plus home run year, they're not getting enough production down the lineup. It's 4 games in. Woo-saw.
Woo-saw indeed. Not panicking yet. Now, if we get to May, as you're talking about, and the Brewers are like 12 games under 500, then I'm going to be very
excited. I'm there with you.
Yeah.
But
right now.
Right.
Can't wait to see what happens tonight. Another ball game.
They're going to get a W tonight.
That's what's so great about baseball,
isn't
man.
It?
You just
turn the page,
new game, you throw it on. Every day breeds a new hope.
They're getting a win today.
And maybe, Strofe, you can tell us about another team locally that you might want to do some trick shots for.
Yeah, Bucks fans, it's time to show off your skills. And a pair of Bucks tickets are on the line. We all know this is the time of year where we're all a little distracted with hoops, right? Whether it's at home on the driveway hoop, on the court in a gym, or even rolling up a ball of paper to shoot hoops into a garbage can at work. We're all trying
to get buckets. I got to get the Fisher-Price hoop for the baby girl.
Let's go, baby. All you got to do, you can win some Bucks tickets. We want you to show us your best shots. Send us a video on Twitter, X, at ESPN Milwaukee, using hashtag BucksTrickShot. Let's hashtag BucksTrickShot of your creative shots. Send it in before April 8th. That's a week from today. And you could win two Bucks tickets to the regular season finale against Detroit on April 15th. That's hashtag BucksTrickShot on Twitter, at ESPN Milwaukee, to submit your stuff.
I know Kyle said earlier that it felt like I was going to have an aneurysm talking about Rashawn Gary being compared to Za'Darius Smith in the production there. But I want to hear from the source, because Goody spoke about the defensive line. I want to hear what he has to say about it next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
You throw hands?
Do I throw hands?
With T.O.
Will I? No, I throw hands with Andre the Giant, man.
That's good. Lewis from the north side. The north side always knows.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
So excited to talk about my new bank, and that's Citizens Bank. Man, listen, they helped me level up with opening up a 7th-month CD at 4.25%. Yes, 4.25%, helping my money grow. And what I love about them as well is they have mortgages you can get as well. And when I was talking to them about it, they said, hey, after you get a mortgage, on top of that, we can help set you up as well by finding homeowners insurance too. I'm telling you, it's a one-stop shop at Citizens Bank. So I'm telling you guys, if you're thinking about a new bank, contact my friends at Citizens Bank by visiting them at citizensbankwi.bank. That's citizensbankwi.bank. It's time to level up, and they will do that with you at Citizens Bank. And always remember, they are a local bank that's helping the community. I absolutely love it, and I want you to love it too. They have all type of different branches inside of different places like Mequonago. They have a branch as well in Janice. They have a branch in Big Bend, Eagle. So many different options. So bank today with Citizens Bank by visiting them at citizensbankwi.bank. That's citizensbankwi.bank.
Kyle Bruston-Nortman with you till 5 o'clock, leading into the Homer Hour. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. List is more, and see us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. We're streaming live there. I'd love to hear from Goody, as we've had conversations about what he feels urgency is and if he's meeting those expectations in his own mind. He feels like he has. Matt LaFleur has talked about the wide receiver room and what needs to happen there. But another topic of conversation all offseason has been this defensive line. That's what Goody had to say about that group.
I think we can do everything we need to do through the players we have on our roster right now, because I think there's a significant amount of improvement for those guys, not only in year two of a scheme, but just I think individually as well. So we've invested in that quite a bit already, and I'm excited to see the growth that those guys will have. If the draft happens to bring us, you know, some more ammunition in that category, great. But I don't think it's something that's necessarily we have to go chase.
Do you think it was just the transition, whatever was lacking last season with the pass rush at times, just the transition schematically?
I think that, you know, again, we had some pretty good moments as pass, you know, in pass rush last year. It just wasn't consistent enough. I think when you've shown it and the ability to be, you know, to pass rush at a high level, you know you can do it, right? So it's just a matter at that point of being able to do it week in and week out.
Goody on the defensive line. I think it's all right there in front of us, guys.
Yeah, when I look at this and I listen to this, I think of Goody himself when he said we need to get pressure with four, and that's what Super Bowl teams do. But then you look all season, and the Packers could never get pressure with four. They had to set exotic blitz. They had to do other things that would allow them to go ahead and get that kind of pressure on the quarterback. Thank you to Jeff Hafley. But he also makes a comment just now saying, you know, we saw it come in bursts,
in
right?
Like moments.
In moments. Yeah, that was the way he said it. In moments,
Well, those not moments, consistent enough, though.
The moments he's referring to are against the Tennessee Titans, where I believe they got like 8 sacks, and then they got Seattle, where they had like 7 sacks. So those were games where they were playing the worst offensive lines in the NFL, so he wants to get credit for the defensive line getting all these sacks and go ahead and eating against some of the worst teams in the NFL, but then when it actually like matters in big games, they don't get any pressure. So you can't take credit for the Tennessee Titans and the Seattle Seahawks for getting the bulk of your sacks in those games and just say, oh, yeah, I know it's in there. Well, of course they are. They're the worst offensive lines in the NFL. So I can't tell if Goody is trying to convince himself that he has what they need or if he actually believes that that is representative of who this defensive line is. Either way, it's a bad conclusion.
Well, he started out pretty hot. Just play the first, like, 5 seconds. Like, he was pretty confident in the way that he started by answering this question about the defensive line.
I think we can do everything we need to do through the players we have on our roster right now.
There it is. That's pretty confident to me. I think he believes what he's preaching.
He must.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that he believes what he's preaching because when you're preaching the same thing over and over, that's a problem, right? Because nothing's changing. That consistency thing is when an issue, going back to Joe Barry, we've talked about the defensive line and being able to consistently get some type of pressure, get some type of sacks. You're still having the same conversation even though you changed to a new defense. I don't think, and again, Brad, you play in the NFL. It obviously does take time to adjust, but dudes are dudes, players are players. And a player playing in a 3-4 or 4-3, if they're a stud, they're going to pop out at some point during that first season. It doesn't take 2-3 seasons for guys to be able to be football players. Like, come on now. If Rashawn Gary was that dude, it doesn't matter if he's lined up in a 3-4 or a 4-3, he's going to get to the quarterback. It does not matter. And unfortunately, I don't think we have that on the roster, but Goody thinks that he has guys with that potential. But once again, he keeps swinging and he's missing on these first-round picks and guys that we expect to make an instant impact right away. And it is hurting the progress of this football team. So he can keep trotting these same guys out there, giving the same speech and spiel every single year, but the end results are unfortunately not changing. And the defensive line continues to be an Achilles heel of this football team.
Well, what you're talking about, you know, does it matter where the guy lines up, 3-4, 4-3? The overarching question is, are the guys winning their one-on-one battles? And all year, we saw those guys losing one-on-one battles, right? It took Jeff Hafley to do loops and twists and pressures, and you show blitz and you go off blitz because guys were not winning their one-on-one battle. Doesn't matter if it's a 3-4, a 4-3. If Rashawn Gary lines up, either way, he's going to line up on the end of the line. Can you beat the offensive tackle you're going against? You have to be able to do that, particularly if you're paid that kind of money. Now, somebody might get double teamed. It might be Kenny Clark. It might be Rashawn Gary. But across the line with 4 guys, most guys are going to have one-on-one battles. You have to beat your guy. Lucas Van Ness isn't beating his guy. Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, anyone else that you're rotating through, it's not consistently winning your one-on-one battle. So that says to me, the personnel is just not there no matter what the scheme.
And I know Jason Wilde, who joins us on Monday and Thursdays, I think, Strofe, you had a lot to do with this on Weekly Wilde, which we ran every week on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. When it came to Davante Adams, like, Jason texted Goody, and I think he talked about it with you because you guys wanted to know, is this something that, you know, you're even interested in? Because we're talking about it a lot. If you can just give us a little input so we don't just talk about nothing, it'd be appreciated for our fans and for us. And what he's telling me when I hear this is Trey Hendrickson was bigger than a pipe dream. Bigger than a pipe dream. With the confidence that he started that sentence with, wasted our breath again.
I don't understand how he can watch other teams have game records and think to himself, man, I can't wait till my guys develop into that. Like, dude, like, you know there's no game record on this roster. It would be a miracle. If Lucas Van Ness pops out and he is a great football player, I'd be happy. Yes, I'd be happy to say, oh, I was wrong. But we all know, none of us are waiting on for Lucas Van Ness to have a big season.
If he's Lucas Van Ness has 8 sacks or more.
Okay, what are you going to do?
Anybody who wants to
slap
and
you?
Pie me in the face.
Oh, wow.
Pie me in the face.
I like that.
Anybody listening?
Okay.
And you can mark this. 8+ sacks from Lucas Van Ness. Pie in the face.
Even
or you can
if
put me in
one
of those dunk
sack,
tanks.
So.
You can make it freezing cold water. I don't care.
I mean, that's a lot of conviction.
I feel pretty confident. But last time I did this, I ended up jumping in Lake Michigan.
Well, hopefully this happens again because the Green Bay Packers.
That'd be great. It would be great. This would be a miracle.
The success of this football team defensively, right? Like, we understand that at the cornerback position, they're not going to have Jair back next year. They're going to run Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, and Nate Hobbs out there at corner. That's exactly what they're going to do. And if this football team can find a defensive lineman in Lucas Van Ness to be a guy that on the opposing team's offensive line have to take note of him, put a tight end to help. Chip with a running back. If they have to do that, that changes what this defense is. It changes what the potential is. The Packers are a great pass rusher away from having an almost dominant defense. A dominant defense comes with being just, you know.
Who would enjoy giving me a pie to the face most? Brad, Kyle, or Strofe?
Strofe. How hard would you guys
Strofe,
he envies you. He loves you, but he hates you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Well said.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's true. Brad, would you wind up, or would it just be a little twist of the wrist? There's no other way to put a pie in somebody's face, Brad.
Oh, you're gonna wind up and go for pain.
That thing back and pop.
Oh, wow.
He doubts our Packers. Of course, I'd wind up.
Yeah,
I'm not doubting.
So you basically slap
I'm
him with a pie.
Lucas Van Ness.
Have doubting you seen, a Packer.
You weren't here when he got slapped, did you? Were you here when he got slapped by Greg Scalzo?
I missed it. I saw the footage.
Gabe did
lovely.
It too. A couple different people slapped
him. Slapped by Josh. Not Greg. Greg just like was running the show. Did Greg slap him?
Greg
did
slap him.
Definitely slapped
he
you.
Slapped,
yeah.
He slapped
Josh gave him the weakest slap of all time. If he could have that moment back after I didn't invite him to his wedding, damn, that would hurt.
I mean, the slap was bad.
Did Greg still have a little bit in him? Or did he?
Greg got me a little more than I expected.
No,
best man of my life. I didn't even take anything off.
Brad, when I say he slapped him, he pimp slapped him.
Like
the money didn't show up right.
That's my carless.
Wow, on that note, let me tell you about how I'm going to go home to the Norman Estate tonight. That's going to go cracking over a carless. That is because carless go-to ready-to-drink cocktail. You know that by now, KBN Nation. But what you might not know is the new flavors of 2025. I'm talking about the Mango Bliss package and the mango flavor that is coming in a four-pack. Each one of those is bottling up a tropical experience that you get to enjoy with every single sip when it comes to your carbless experience. The flavors, they're great for now when it's a little cold outside, but you know when the weather dials up, they're going to taste extra good when they're cold and crisp and clean because there's less carbonation, there's no carbs, no sugars, no gluten. It makes it a guilt-free experience. If you guys want to be like me, you gotta enjoy a carbless. Enjoy why Liss is more made right here in the great state of Wisconsin. Liss is certainly more with carbless.
Alex Strofe cooked last week. I'll give him credit. 4 out of 5 becoming relevance were good. That's 80%. You said it yourself, Fridays wasn't your best. Is he gonna be hot today? Becoming relevant with Alex Strofe. Next.
You're listening to Kyle Brust and Nortman, KBN.
Craig Council bobblehead that was given away, and we, just did a nice, soliloquy? Is that the right word?
Yeah, like a montage?
Like a Virgil.
Vigil.
We did a vigil.
Vigil.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Kyle Wallace, Brad Norton with Alex Strofe running the show. You, KBN Nation, as always, at 800-990-3776. That is the Carbless Talk and Text line. Liss is more. See us on YouTube at ESP Milwaukee. It's time now to hear from Alex Strofe, becoming relevant.
Very handsome.
Hey, Mr. Irrelevant. It's time to become relevant. Strofe's time to shine on KBN starts now.
Election day here in the state of Wisconsin. And we're not the only people voting on stuff. Down at the NFL owners meetings in South Florida, a debate, a discussion, and a full-blown debacle when it comes to the tush-push.
Tabled it for later.
Now, the Green Bay Packers, who initiated the discussion about the potential ban of the tush push that the Philadelphia Eagles have made a living on, has been tabled for later. There's another meeting in mid-May in which teams will discuss it. 16 teams seem like they are anti-tush push. 16 teams seem like they are
not against the tush push,
which means you do need a 3/4 majority ruling. So there's going to be a little campaign trail here over the course of the next 7 weeks.
How do you campaign for a rule like this?
Well, you need 8 more people to change their mind.
Glad hand.
Now, where do you think that campaigning is going to happen, boys? What city are all NFL teams going to be in together in a couple of weeks?
Minneapolis.
Ooh, very good, Strofe. I didn't think about that.
I'm stupid. Yeah.
Just like the campaign trail's been hitting Green Bay hard in the political scene.
Draft.
I'm thinking about the meeting.
The NFL are going to be hitting the campaign trail in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now,
they don't come
just say the NFL draft out loud. You never said NFL draft.
Oh, political epicenter, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Here is what Matt LaFleur had to say about the tush push earlier today down in South Florida.
Just when you look at the play, I would say I don't think it's a great football play. It's more of a rugby play. And then some of the injury concerns, we just want to kind of get out in front of that, you know, and be a little bit more proactive than reactive.
So as we know, there was a release released a few weeks ago that said there were a total of 0 injuries from the tush push in 2024.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Meaning that the player safety argument is garbage. Go ahead, Brad.
It sounds like he doesn't believe what he's saying. It sounds
wasn't
like...
Wasn't Mark Murphy the one who was mad about the tush push and Murphy like, takes 5
yes,
strokes?
Murphy said...
Poor Matt LaFleur. Goody and Murphy literally say all these things. He's got to answer to all their actions.
He's a good one.
Actions.
He is a,
he's
good,
a good soldier.
One, boy. Because I tell you, he got to listen to this nonsense
I want
all
you
the time
guys,
to say, talk with a smile on
I want
face.
You guys to hear from like the former badasses, who may still actually be badasses, specifically Texans head coach D'Amico Ryans, former defensive rookie of the year, said, quote, "It's tough to punish a team for being really good at something," end quote. Clearly, the Texans not on board. And every year you see the coach's picture that's taken at these owner meetings.
Yep.
Every year the same name or two are brought up as, like, who would win the battle royal. Mike Vrabel, now the Patriots head coach, a name always brought up. Here's Mike Vrabel earlier today on the tush push.
"That particular play, you have to defend it. It's also tough to defend Lamar Jackson when he runs the ball, so I'm all in favor of getting rid of those plays that are tough to defend, but, you know, we just try to focus on what the rules are and try to use them to our advantage."
My flaw with the Matt LaFleur answer is when he mentioned it's like more like a rugby play, like football isn't physical, like one of the most physical games.
A scrum. It's not a real play. It's just like, and my biggest...
We've been doing QB sneaks for years.
No, but my biggest issue is literally, it's one thing to do a QB sneak, it's another thing to push somebody in the back. It legitimately is a rugby play. Like, legitimately. And so I don't like the aiding and abetting. Abetting and aiding, what is it?
Aiding and abetting.
I'm looking
That's
Brad.
Kind of a legal term, but...
Well, I mean, well, he's helping. It's a legal help.
But don't defensive players...
It's right now legal help.
It seems illegal.
Don't defensive players, like, from the back also push piles?
It's very different. It's very different.
Yeah.
I actually don't believe you can push piles on defense.
Really?
That is illegal, yeah.
Then that does seem unfair.
It's also tough to defend Lamar Jackson when he runs the ball.
Fair take there, Mike.
It is a good answer. But like, one is based off skill set.
Let's just
stop. One might not be.
Don't ban the tush push. It's not happening.
Isn't strength a skill set? That they're just using strength to push?
Why don't they just use the strength of the quarterback to QB sneak? You don't need to push him. You can't pull him.
I think if defenses can't push either, then it's unfair. But if they can push too.
But they really do kind of push in a QB sneak.
Yeah.
The defense do.
Right.
The offense already has an advantage if they know when the snap count is. And
that's
they know
the,
what the
only
play is
thing
be.
I'm struggling with is the control of when you can snap it. Like,
you have an advantage.
You lose an edge on defense.
Yeah. I mean,
now, in terms of physicality, I love the play. It's like they invented something based off the rules and it's physical and they found a way to master it. Because if it was that easy, then others
would do it.
Yep.
And so it seems like a cop-out because you can't figure out how to do it as successful as others.
You can't replicate it.
I think it's more so the quarterback than it is replicating to do it. Every quarterback isn't Jalen Hurts,
but
who's a tree trunk.
Whose fault is that? If they don't have a quarterback.
It goes back to Vrabel. Be like, okay, well, I mean, then quarterbacks can't run it.
No,
but
I mean,
you can't replicate Lamar Jackson's speed.
They can run it. It's just, you know, it's just an extra assistance. That's all I'm saying. I don't think it's a necessary play in the NFL. If you need to tush push in order to get a first down, then I guess you're a Super Bowl champion.
Yep, I guess so.
Also, for becoming relevant since you ended the music, the chain gang will now be secondarily.
Yeah.
What is that?
The chain gang is going to be secondary.
Secondarily is what I said.
That's okay. I said Genesee wrong.
What did you call Genesee?
Genesee. I missed a C. Genesee.
We're using Eagle Eye Tech.
Genesee. Citizens Bank, Genesee.
You're in the 06010. Caller 6 right now. You're going to see the Fantasy Football Focus Football Podcast live in Green Bay, Wednesday, April 23rd. Field Yates, Daniel Dot, Mike Clay, Liz Loza, and Stefania Bell are all coming to the Tundra Trio up in Green Bay. A night before the draft begins, ESPN Wisconsin wants to send you and a friend to Green Bay to see the show happen live. Right now, caller 6, you will win 2 tickets to ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Live at the Tundra Trio. See the show up close, meet all the hosts, and get complimentary food and drinks and Fantasy Focus Football Podcast merch. That's caller 6 right now. 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776. You will see the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast live in Green Bay Wednesday, April 23rd. Full rules at ESPNWisconsinContest.com. Caller 6 right now.
Professor Big Daddy J.A. John Anderson joins us next. Kyle, Bruston Nortman. Homer, you said something on the air with John that it was he might be sugar. He might be salt.
No, there's a little salt. He's mostly sugar, but there's a little salt. Major
is he mostly
salt
sugar?
Today
I think it's right, primarily salt.
All right, if you guys decide that.
I think you're sugar, John.
Of course you do. John Anderson of ESPN and a wonderful professor at University of Missouri is joining us on Kyle, Bruston, Nortman. Look, John, I love the Brewers. They're 0-4. I'm not panicking. Tell me why I shouldn't panic.
I'm not panicking either, because there's a reason they play 162 games.
And did you know what quarter they're in a 17-game season? It's the second quarter at the 2-minute
so
warning.
Us.
Yeah, there is some pause for concern that you can't give up 10 every day. Like, I just want to see a little something here that shows me that we
can. I help all you people? They played the first four games as bad as any team in the history of the major leagues, and they've been playing a long time.
Panic. Sounds like Homer's panic.
It could just be one of those things, though. Just a bad 4 days.
You're
right?
Saying what? The Cleveland Spiders were not this bad.
No. Yes, they were not.
So you have no hope.
No, I have hope, but you need to know how bad this has been. And on top of the worst four-game start ever, they had a game in which the first three pitches they threw were all hit for home runs. Yeah. That's bad little league team.
Brad, stop saying that.
I mean, it's kind of amazing.
I know you're a stats guy, but not now.
I'm a Brewers guy.
So take it from there wherever you want. Yes, it's only four games. But understand the historic patheticness, if that's such a word, of those four games.
That's okay. You could be pathetic for four games and then be magnificent for the next four.
They could be historically patheticness.
I will have to check the other horrific four-game starts to open a season. I suspect you're wrong.
How do you guys know about the Cleveland Spiders? That is, I know you're both
I've never even heard of
ancient
that.
And old, but
I believe that's a National League team. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Actually, you go back to this. What, Cincinnati Redlegs were the first Major League team in the National League.
He's
They're
a
the
professor,
oldest
remember?
The Redlegs?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
wow.
I think that's the red legs.
A lot of burned, like white skin.
I don't know.
A lot of Irish guys.
In the 1870s, I don't know exactly, or the 1880s, what the SPF count was on their sun protection. I don't know if they had banana boat back then that they could go ahead and get that.
I would struggle in those days, John. Pretty pale skin right here.
But they were also, it was 98 degrees and they were playing in wool uniforms too. So we've come a long way in a lot of areas.
That's well said, John.
With the exception of the Brewers pitching.
Yeah, that
which right now is lagging.
That has regressed, as Homer said, to an historic standard. Talk about the Green Bay Packers. You know, early in the offseason, Ben asked you a question. You were sort of taking informal inventory of what everyone's wish list was. So remember what you said on your wish list, John?
If it wasn't edge rusher, corner, and offensive lineman, then I don't know.
That I think I know this.
So it was actually T. Higgins. It was T. Higgins, right? So obviously,
off season wise to get him.
Yes, yes, not for the draft, for like the off season in total.
So yeah, and then nobody was available. Everybody signed their people.
Well, so I mean, T. Higgins obviously got signed. Davante Adams came available. And, you know, it was just a reflection of Goody's offseason, right, of making a couple moves, but not a lot that moves the needle. Have you been generally satisfied with the Packers offseason so far, as we're a couple, now only a few weeks away from the draft?
Totally fine. Totally fine.
Okay.
Who's out there?
Why?
Who's out there that would change your opinion of the offseason?
Most of Davante Adams would have been nice.
That might have been there. And if you're wanting Davante Adams, you're living in the past. You're just wishing for the past.
No,
nobody
that's
wins
not
games
true.
In the past.
John,
yes, you are.
John.
Still a stud, John. But
John, there's one thing to wish for the past to be nostalgic. It's another thing when a guy would have led your team in receiving yards last year. Like, that's a complete difference. He's not some washed dude. He's a guy who still has something left in the tank and has something to offer a young receiving core that is actually going to be missing on Christian Watson. So I have to disagree with that one.
You are assuming that he comes back and he picks up right where he left off, and that his rapport and relationship with Jordan Love and that combination will be exactly the same as it was with Aaron Rodgers. And it's, I think, a totally different dynamic. And, like, if you want to get him, great. I'm not opposed to adding a better player. But I don't know that missing on him or not calling on him or vice versa, because I think if he really wanted to come, he'd have said to his agent, hey, just make one call to Green Bay. I think that would be smart. So it didn't appear that he was overly anxious to come here either. But if that's knock,
he
if that's your one knock on the offseason, okay, I'm willing to take that
pass rusher.
I don't think that's big.
We could talk about pass rusher as well. The Green Bay Packers didn't go out and get, I mean, it's not like there was some game record there, but there was options there, because what the Packers are returning on the defensive line, you have to admit, it's not too appealing. You got to still be concerned.
Who's out there that would have been, that you would have said, okay, that guy can replace what we have?
I mean, Josh Sweat had a pretty good pop. I mean, again,
it's not like the interior was something we could overlook as well. The Vikings signed two interior defensive linemen.
Yeah, they get the boy from the Commander, so.
Jonathan Allen and Hargrove, I believe.
Yes, from the 49ers, Jason.
Mm-hmm. And if they hadn't gone to the Vikings and they had gone to the
Javon, thank you.
Chargers, you'd have been, yeah, okay, who are those guys? You just start. You think
no, don't. That,
don't
no, it's not.
Got,
it's
but
not.
I think it's
John,
also
John,
fair to
I'm
look within
you
your
John
division
Wooden.
And two teams.
I'm going to give you John Wooden. Don't mistake activity for achievement.
No, John. John. My
you,
problem.
Oh,
so
Tolbert's writing that down. The Old Testament's coming
well, yeah,
up at 5 o'clock.
But John, don't you think that like you look at this team and there's no insignificant improvement from a team that was a 7th seed bounced in the first round?
Correct.
So
and you're totally fine.
Yeah, you're good with that.
I don't know that there's anything out there that you could have put on this team. Of the guys, Crosby doesn't come available. Our boy in Cleveland, Miles, talks his way into $1 billion.
Okay, Trey Hendrickson.
Nobody there.
He's negotiating with the team. They've still been negotiating. Trey Hendrickson is there. That's a guy that you could potentially utilize.
So that makes you what? That puts you up? You're going to be 13-4? No. There's nobody on there that you could have signed this offseason that makes this team that's 11-6 even makes them 12-5.
All right, so why?
Boy.
Tell us why you have belief in the wide receiver room and defensive line then, because they haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since Davante Adams the last 3 years. If you think it could be by committee again with Tucker Kraft taking next step, I can feel that conversation. But the defensive line, they had 8 sacks and 7 sacks, 15 of them in 2 games.
Yep.
Are you just going to say you believe in Jeff Hafley and the scheme to make these guys better?
No, I think they got to find something, but I don't know that's available out there that you were just signing somebody, go, oh, okay, we signed somebody, and now we're markedly better because we signed that guy.
Okay,
that's my point. They do need to improve, but they're going to have to address that somewhere in the draft or trade, but I don't think that's their route. And I think that there was nobody offseason-wise, like I said, that's going to make this team that was 11-6. There is nobody out there that came available, in my opinion, that makes them even 12-5 or makes them 13-4.
Can I ask a question with all of you here?
Yeah, Homer.
Sure, Homer.
Might the problem be LaFleur, not Goody?
No, the problem's Goody.
Oh.
The problem's Goody. The problem is Goody because you have to look at the draft classes of Goody. When you look at that 20 draft class, that 21 draft class, he absolutely failed this Green Bay Packer team, and he failed this quarterback, because the reason they're in the predicament they are now is because they don't have veterans. They don't have depth from those drafts. That falls on Goody.
They had the 6th best defense in the league last year. 6th best.
The defense.
They got an offense. They got an offensive mind who was supposed to be able to make all these plays. Now you gave him a great running back, and now he couldn't do anything.
They averaged 27 points per game. They were inconsistent, and they had a quarterback that was injured. That defensive line did not produce the way the Green Bay Packers needed to.
Apparently, the defensive line did well enough to give up the six fewest points.
How did the six fewest points team
do? Because there's more to a defense than
how did the six fewest points team do against the quality opponents like the Vikings, who they gave up 28 to, the Lions they gave up 30 plus to. They weren't able to do it in a consistent fashion other than in the wild card game against the Eagles. They kept them in the game. And then, sure, you can have your Matt LaFleur point, but realistically, the defense
game
against good teams was not good enough throughout the season.
Other than the playoff game.
The playoff game, a lot of injuries were on offense.
Has issues. Guys, quickly I will tell you, I think you have the argument backwards. And I think this is a Jordan Love has to get better issue than the wide receivers have to get better. I think the quarterback makes the wide receivers
better. The team is soft
better.
And always will
the
be
soft. The receivers do not make quarterbacks better.
Wow, a lot of shots taken at Matt LaFleur.
Yes. In 2 minutes, the Old Testament next.